Welcome back. This is the FYI on Youth Ministry, and I am Rosalyn Hernandez. I am so glad to be back with y'all.
And I'm Giovanni Panginda. In this season, we're talking about you, youth leaders. That's right. You know, you pour out and work hard for your students and your ministry. So it's more than a job, obviously, because it's a calling. And that is why we will be talking about how you can restore your strength, energy, and your passion in ministry to help you keep going sustainably and strong.
That's right. I think we, as youth leaders, don't always have that in mind, but it's really great that we're taking some time to declare a whole season to it.
Me too. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
This is the FYI on Youth Ministry, a podcast from the Fuller Youth Institute. You'll hear all about the latest research, diverse stories, and creative and fresh ideas. In today's episode, we are talking with Christelle Acevedo about sustainable rhythms in youth ministry.
I couldn't do ministry the same way an extrovert does ministry, and I had to be okay with the way that God made me and not wish to be something different. And so long before the pandemic, I instituted rhythms in my life of rest.
But first, here's what youth leaders had to say about today's topic.
So first, let's start, what's your name and your role and like where you're located in the world?
My name is Kathy Collier. I'm the high school youth associate at Church of the Open Door in Maple Grove, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
My name is Matthew Miranda. I've been a youth leader for the past 5 to 6 years. I lead in Los Angeles, California, close to downtown in the MacArthur Park, Cape Town area. For anybody listening, knowing, shout out.
What are some things that you know now about your personal needs for rest? And how did you learn that? Yeah.
So specifically, rest was something I didn't learn for a long time, because youth ministry has been my passion, my hobby, my vocation, either full-time, part-time, or volunteer for going on 30 years. It wasn't something that I did, because I do have a high capacity and I do love it. But recently, not resting hasn't been working for me because of all the things that are piled on top of each other right now, and they're all affecting each other. So I'm learning some new ways and then letting people help me make space for that.
Yeah, so full transparency, this season has been a lot of the Lord just revealing why rest is so important. I'm somebody who struggled with insomnia his whole life. It's never been more clear to me like why rest is so important. And specifically in this season, the mental exhaustion, the spiritual exhaustion, the emotional exhaustion, more than physical, right? I think for a lot of us, it's easy to kind of hide that physical exhaustion, right? Like the whole like, oh no, let's go get after it. Like, let's go get it. But the spiritual exhaustion doesn't leave until you give it to the Lord, you know? So for me, that has been intentional times of solitude where I can.
So let's get right into it. Today we have Christelle Acevedo as our conversation partner. Christelle is a writer, a wife, and mom. She's a Nicaraguense, a Miami-raised Latina. She lives in South Carolina in the ancestral land of the Catawba Nation, and she serves at Transformation Church, where she gets to create resources and disciple others. Christelle is also currently writing a student devotional titled Three Big Questions That Change Your Future with our directors Carol Powell and Brad Griffin. So we're very excited about that. The devotional will be released this December. Christelle, thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, I'm so welcome. Excited. Thank you, guys. This is going to be such a fun time together.
Christelle, one of the issues that the pandemic has highlighted is that as ministry leaders, as youth leaders, we do a lot. Many leaders are students, some are bivocational, some are also parents. Some might be serving in more than one ministry, and all that in addition to all the other aspects of life. And I know that you, as a mother, as a content creator, as a youth leader, as a wife, an introvert, you know, and with all of the cultural stuff that we all bring, these are all parts that we gotta think about. So can you tell us a little bit about what you have uniquely experienced as a leader before and during the pandemic, and how you have cared for yourself in order to keep doing ministry and make it sustainable?
Sure. This is something that I think about a lot. I think you mentioned before that I am an introvert, and that is a huge part of my story because I had to learn about what that meant. I think a lot of times when people think of an introvert, especially if you're not an introvert, you think that an introvert is someone who is shy or reserved or doesn't like being around people. And that's not necessarily true. You know, people have all these perceptions of introverts that really don't match up to my experience. I remember when I was young in ministry, people really questioned whether I was capable of doing ministry simply because I am an introvert. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with me, and there's nothing wrong with anyone who's an introvert or whatever, however you experience life, right? We all have different capacities, and that's okay. We can still work within our capacities, right? I love being around people. Just because I'm an introvert doesn't mean that I don't like to have fun or, you know, dance around with the students. It just means that I need to rest afterwards. I need to have some quiet time so that I can recharge. And so when people questioned about my capacity, I had to really think about it and be like, well, wait a minute, is that true? Is what they're saying true? And I realized that it wasn't. I couldn't do ministry the same way an extrovert does ministry. I had to be okay with that. And I had to be okay with the way that God made me and not wish to be something different. And so long before the pandemic, I instituted rhythms in my life of rest. I take it very seriously. I take boundaries very seriously. And like you said, I'm also a mom, and I had two babies pretty much back to back. So that was a wild time. Rather than resent the seasons of life that we're in or our personalities or the way God made us, we need to lean into those seasons. We need to lean into our personalities and take care of who we are and create rhythms that are sustainable for us. So, like I said, long before the pandemic, I had rhythms in which I have regular rest throughout my week, times where I am completely alone, and my family, thank God, they are supportive and they understand that. And I have one day where I Sabbath. And that has changed. Some years in my life, that day has been on Fridays. Some years it's been on Sunday. It just kind of depends on my schedule, my job, my family. And so I take that command to Sabbath very seriously because I really feel that God instituted the Sabbath for our good.
I love that you talked about how you are an introvert and just the different ways you were able to do the rhythms. I'm an extrovert, and so I get energized actually with people, but to be honest, I find myself, maybe because I'm getting older, but I find myself like wanting to also kind of sometimes separate from people and to be by myself. And so what you said about being an introvert, even being a mom, it reminded me of my family and just how, like, you know, when you're young, when you did something you shouldn't, your parents tell you to do what? A timeout, right? So when you're young, a timeout is considered a punishment. But when you're older, for me, at least for me, a timeout is actually a reward. It's a good thing for me. You know, a timeout can look like very different things, whether it's just sleeping in some more hours going on a hike or watching a movie by yourself. Like, I think you're right. Like, it's so important to figure out that rhythm. And at least for me, it's a timeout.
Oh, for sure. And the thing is, there are different types of rest because we get tired in different types of ways. We can be physically tired. We can be emotionally tired. We can be spiritually tired. We can be mentally tired. There's so many different ways in which we can be tired. So if we're not resting for those specific areas, then we're not going to be recharged, right? So if I'm physically tired and I'm resting by reading a book, that's not going to fix it. I need to take a nap. You know what I mean? Or if I'm emotionally tired and I take a nap, I mean, maybe I'll feel a little better, but I'm still going to be emotionally tired. I need to like go to a therapist or something. You know what I mean? Like I need to do something that's going to fix the specific type of tired that I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of self-knowledge that we need to have. So we got to like know our strengths. We got to know what makes us, you know, tired, what energizes us, you know, even in our leadership style, like knowing, well, I'm more of a, you know, administrative leader, or I'm more of a speaker or something like that. Mm. And being aware of those things can help us know if maybe we need to delegate some of the things that make us tired at a certain point in our life. Or, you know, if you have kids, like I can't, you know, be doing too many physical things all the time.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do kids ministry either. Don't ask me to be in the nursery. I don't want it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, following up on that, I think that also just showcases the diversity of the ministries of our seasons of life, even our personalities, our circumstances. And it seems that like being aware of what those things mean for us is very important, so that you can create those rhythms, you know, to be healthy and sustainable, and especially because we're not machines, right? And
right.
we need rest, and all that. If we keep going without proper rest, we're gonna burn out, right?
Right.
So,
Absolutely. So
my question for you then is like, can you share more about how we can all be more aware of those needs and rhythms?
Sure. So even though, like you said, Gio, you're an extrovert, right? You love being around people, but you also said that you're finding a need to go away to be alone at times. And you said, maybe that's because I'm getting older, but it could also be because you're getting more spiritually mature and you're realizing that this is necessary for your health. And I think about Jesus and he often went alone, right? He'd be with his disciples. He'd be teaching in front of large crowds, but then it says that he would go off to be alone with the Father, right? And so to me, that shows how important it is to go away, to be alone, but not just be alone, to be alone with the Father, because God knows us. He sees us. God wants the best for us. He wants good for us. And so that's where we need to go to understand what we need. And so I think it's so important that we listen, that we have that time to commune with God so that we can become aware of what our needs are. God is going to tell us what our needs are because God wants good for us. And so when we practice that silence and solitude time, because also resting is not just like I'm going to watch Netflix for 5 hours, even though I have done that, okay? Like no shade.
All guilty.
No shade. Like I hate it when the little box comes up and says, are you still watching such and such? Yeah, man, I'm still watching it. Leave me alone. But we still need that silence and solitude time where you are sitting there in the presence of God and just waiting to receive. And not being distracted by phones, not being distracted by books, not being distracted by Netflix, but just waiting to receive and hear from God. And I truly believe that when we slow down, we listen to our bodies, we listen to God, the Spirit, we are going to become aware of what those needs are.
I love that. Thank you so much. Like, that's a huge compliment for me that you called me spiritually mature. Everyone, you heard that first, right? I'm spiritually mature. Yay.
I'm calling it up in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. And my follow-up question is, so what are like one or two ideas that you have like for us to kind of assess our rhythms that we're going to need in each kind of stage of our life, whether we are, you know, like single in doing ministry or, you know, married in doing ministry or married with children in doing ministry, right, or really any stage of life that we can think of. And then the other question is also like how often and when might it be helpful to reevaluate for ourselves? Yeah.
That's great. That's a great question. So let me answer the second one first. You said how often, right? I think anytime we experience a big change or a shift in our lives, it's time to reevaluate. When you get a new job, when you get a promotion, when you get married, when you have a kid, when you move to a new house, when you move to a different church, you know, like when these life changes happen, it's time to sit down and reevaluate and reassess for sure. And I think it's also healthy to maybe if you're a very structured person, you want to say, you know what, once a month, I'm going to sit down and reassess, or once every 6 months, I'm going to sit down and reassess. That's fine. I think, like I said, there's different personalities and things work, you know, what might work for you may not work for me. For me, I just know I feel it in my spirit. Like, oh, you know what? My husband just got a promotion at work. We need to sit down and figure things out again because, you know, his priorities at work might change. He might have more responsibilities. We need to like sit down and do this together. So that's what works for me. I'm not going to remember every 2 weeks to do it. I'm just not. But so for me, it's a signal when there's a big change or a shift in our life. And then the other question that you had was, what are like tips in each stage of life?
Yeah.
So I think, let's say when you're single, you don't have a partner, a spouse to talk things out with, right? However, that doesn't mean you're doing life alone because we're all part of God's family, right? So you,
amen,
hopefully, yes, hopefully in Jesus' name, you have people in your life that you can check in with, right? Whether it's your best friend, whether it's a pastor or a ministry leader, someone, an older trusted adult that you can confide in and help, and someone that will help you figure things out. I think it's healthy for single people to have someone to check in with. Someone that's going to give them an outside perspective, someone that's going to give them some perspective. So definitely, even if you're single, you should be checking in with somebody, right? And someone who knows you, someone you can be real with. If you're married, you and your spouse are one, and you all need to be figuring it out. I just think for me, my husband and I, like, we're best friends, and we are partners, you know? And so every time I start feeling something, he starts feeling something, there's something is off kilter, we need to come together to figure that out. So that's my number one thing. It's don't try to do it alone. Do it in community. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever it is, find someone, do it in community. That's like my number one tip. And then even I'm assuming that as kids get older, that you'll include them in that as well. My kids are still pretty young. My daughter's 8. My son is 10. But there are times where we sit down and have a family meeting and say, hey, what do you think about this? And include them in decision making. And because I want them to feel good too, right? I want them to feel supported. I want them to feel that they get a say. Because just as much as my rest matters, their rest matters as well. So yeah, I think just doing it in community is the number one thing, whether you're single, married, got kids, grandkids, whatever it is, that you got to do it in community.
If you're like me and you listen to podcasts on the go, don't worry. We got you covered. You can find a free printable download and all the highlights you could want on our show notes page at fulleryouthinstitute.org/podcasts.
You released a 7-day devotional that is titled Walking in the Wilderness. And to many leaders, it might feel like they are in a season of being in the wilderness. I think for everyone right now, it feels that way. and it might seem like there isn't a way to rest, right? Like, or to be refreshed in the wilderness, because how, you know? But you write about Hagar and the injustice of her situation and how God met her there.
Right.
In a way, as youth leaders, some of us are in a similar situation. We may be in situations where there's a lot of factors that are outside of our control. Yep. And it might feel like we've been pushed into the wilderness, mm-hmm. and systems are not in our favor. And it might even feel like Hagar, that not only are we trying to keep ourselves alive, but we're also trying to keep the next generation alive. Yes. So what hope or rest, provision and refreshment does God offer us and Hagar in wilderness situations?
Well, I mean, the story of Hagar is one of my very favorite stories in scripture because it shows God's redemption and love in such a beautiful way that I think a lot of people may have forgotten about nowadays. And what I love about Hagar's story first is that she gives God a name, and that name is El Roy, and it means the God who sees. That to me is so significant because here was Hagar, some forgotten woman who wasn't really valued by her people, by the people that she lived with that were supposed to take care of her. And God saw her, you know, and God sees all of us in our pain, in our misery, in our wilderness. God sees us. And so to me, that's already a comfort, right? But then there's another instance where Hagar is back in the wilderness and she's with her son. And man, she doesn't want to be there. You know, I wouldn't want to be there either. She's scared. She's got her son to take care of. She's just experienced so much pain and rejection. And what I love is that in Genesis 21:19, God says, or it says that then God opened her eyes and she saw a well, so she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy, her son, a drink. So I just see a mirroring there of first she recognized that God saw her, and then God opened her eyes so that she could see him, right? Because that well was from him. It was a gift from him. It was a gift of provision. It was a gift of refreshment. It was a gift of nourishment. And so that's what God offers us. First, God offers us the fact that he sees us, right? Just being seen is so significant, right? Being acknowledged is profound and important for each of us. And then on top of that, having the gift of seeing him and the way that God loves us, the way that God cares for us, the way that God offers us nourishment, refreshment, we are given eyes to see. And I think that's what's important, because no matter our circumstances, God is always there with us. It's just whether we recognize it or not. And when we don't, it's so hard because we feel alone. But the truth of the matter is that we're not alone. And so that's the gift of knowing that we are not alone. And that's sometimes that's enough.
Amen. Yeah, I used to be like an actor way back in high school. And
I knew I recognized you.
And one of the acting exercises, having a partner and just staring at them, like looking into their eyes for 5 minutes, right?
Oh my gosh, I can't. And do it.
Right? It can be very difficult. And I remember for one of my youth group activities, we actually did that, where I had my students just like look into each other, and it was actually pretty powerful because like some of them ended up crying.
I asked them if they cried. Because I think I would cry.
And I asked them, and I was like, so why did you cry? And they're like, because for the first time I felt somebody really saw me.
Wow.
And I'm trying not to cry too.
I'm crying right now.
But yeah, like it, what you said reminded me of that, like to be seen, you know, to be known, not just by God, but by, you know, each other. So like speaking of the young people, the young generation, I know that like as leaders, right, we've been affected by, you know, everything right now, right? So we're feeling exhausted and burnt out. And if we're feeling that, I'm sure the students, you know, feel that from us, but also I'm sure that the students are feeling their own, you know, sense of exhaustion and burnout from everything that they've been going through these past year or two, right?
Right.
From the isolation to the loneliness, the pressure of online school, like Zoom fatigue. Oh, it's so
real. That's real.
You know, and maybe even the stress of relatives, like getting sick or being vulnerable and things like that. So I was wondering, like, what struggles have you heard from students in general from your work with middle school girls? And my other question is, have some of the rests and practices that you do, like, can it help them?
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah, that's such a great question. So first of all, my middle school girls are in ninth grade now, which is wild to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. I've been with them since they were in sixth grade. And we survived. We not only survived, we thrived in middle school, okay? And now we are going to conquer high school, okay?
Yeah.
But what I have heard from them over and over again is that they feel a lot of pressure from the adults in their lives. Mm. For some reason, I don't think adults realize how much pressure these kids are going through. I think the adults feel pressure to continue, right? To like get work done and to like make sure that these kids pass or, you know, that they don't fall behind in school and whatnot. And so instead of, I guess, giving them grace, they put on the pressure like, hey, you got to keep doing well in school, you know, even though it's online, you got to keep going. And the students are feeling that. You know, they come to me all the time saying, well, my dad is giving me a hard time, my mom, my teachers, you know, I was late with an assignment and they didn't care. You know what I mean? There's just, I don't think there's a lot of understanding from the adults in their lives. And so it's my goal really to connect with as many parents and teachers as possible to let them know, like, in as gently a way as possible, hey, these students, these kids are going through a lot. And how can we love them well? How can we show them grace? How can we remove some of that pressure? And that's number one. I even see it in my own son. He's 10 years old, but he's really like 57. And he struggled a lot with all of this, like pandemic, online school in person, but with masks and 6 feet apart, all of it. He struggled with all of it. And for a while, he was saying that that his stomach hurt. You know, every morning he would wake up, my stomach hurts, he would cry, he wouldn't want to go to school. And I just thought it was so strange. At first, I'm like, does he have stomach issues? Like, do we need to change his diet? But then I realized that it was anxiety. A lot of times with kids, with students, they don't know how to give language to their anxiety, so it manifests itself in physical ways. And so he was experiencing stomach aches every day. And it was heartbreaking for me, but also frustrating, incredibly frustrating, because I didn't know how to deal with it as his mom. I talked to his teachers, you know, I even got him in counseling, and he loved that so much. But on top of that, I instituted a mental health day. So I sat him down and I said, you know what, once a month, if you want to skip school because you need a mental health day, you got it. Like, no questions asked, I will allow that, and you can chill, you can be at home, resting, reading, you can come with me to work if you want, like, whatever, we'll figure it out. Because I realized that kids and students, you know, teenagers, often they don't have a lot of autonomy in their schedules, and they think, like, I have to go to school every day, I have to do my work every day, I have to do this, I have to do that, and they don't have time or permission to take a mental health day. But you know what I do? I'm an adult, and if I can take some PTO because I need it, I do, right? And so I wanted to give my son PTO and say, yes, once a month you get a mental health day whenever you want. It's cool with me. It's not a reward for getting good grades. It's not a get out of jail free card. It's just simply because you are a human being who has limits and who is in need of care, right? And so I think that is something that students can institute in their lives in some way. Like, how can I take a mental health day? How can I take a break from life for a day, right? You know, remove social media from your day. Remove, you know, screens, or like, just what is going to fill you up? What is going to make you feel well-rested? And do that. that's what I think something that's a practice that students can institute into their lives.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, this has been amazing. This season, we want to end each episode with a very practical practice of rest or idea for rest or for recharging. So what is one thing that a youth leader can do to incorporate more moments of rest and restoration or re-energizing in their life?
Yeah, that's great. You know what I'm going to say? Sabbath. Listen, I think so many people, they read the Ten Commandments and they're like, oh yeah, you know, don't murder people, don't steal. That sounds good. I won't do those things. But then they see the one about Sabbath and they're like, really, God? Do I really need to do that one? Listen, it's in the Ten Commandments for a reason. You know, mm-hmm. It's important. And so take Sabbath seriously. You know, I know it's hard to slow down for one day and be like, really, a whole day where I'm just going to Sabbath? Like, what? I want you guys to do that. I want to challenge all the youth leaders, anyone who's listening to this, I challenge you to Sabbath. Institute a day of Sabbath in your week. And that doesn't mean you're going to sit on your butt and do nothing. You know, that means you're going to do something that energizes you, something that helps you commune with the Lord more. My pastor, he always talks about fishing. Listen, I don't like fishing, but he loves it. And so when he's on his Sabbath Fridays, he goes fishing. And while he's fishing, he's talking to God. He's enjoying nature. He's, you know, looking at fish, I guess. I don't know. He likes it. And so what's that thing that's going to energize you and going to make you feel closer to God? Do it. Like, don't think that it's like an option. Take that command seriously. Take that command of Sabbath seriously. Do it. Find whatever it is that energizes you. And I promise you, you're going to see some fruit from that.
So earlier we talked about knowing yourself, right? And I know myself to be an Enneagram 2, like mm-hmm. the helper personality. Mm-hmm. So like, not only do I love helping people, I need to help people, right?
Oh my gosh, Gio.
Sometimes a little too much, you know? Uh-huh. And so what I've learned is to have boundaries, and specifically what's been helping me is this kind of chart. It's about responsibility and ability. So it's four quadrants. So in one of the quadrants, you know, it says, if it's my responsibility and I have the ability, do it. So like, go do that, right? But if it's my responsibility and I don't have the ability, like I don't have the capacity, delegate it, or learn to do better with your timing and things like that. And then if it's not my responsibility and I have the ability, don't do it. Like, save your energy, uh-huh. right? Even though you have the ability,
right,
but
right.
It's not your responsibility, don't do it.
Yeah.
And finally, if it's not your responsibility and you don't have the ability, don't even think about it.
That is so good.
So living in those like four rules like has helped me. Like, now, well, I've failed at times, right? Because again, it's a process,
sure.
like mm-hmm. trying not to help everyone and stuff. But these four things have helped me a lot.
That's so good. Listen, everyone needs to hear that. Like, make a chart, print it out, put it on your mirror, because that is. That's not just for the Enneagram 2s. That's for everybody.
it really is. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think for me, what has helped is going on walks.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes whenever you get more into your body and you stop thinking about other things, it helps. Even if it's just a short 5-10 minute walk. I recently got a prayer app that's called Pray As You Go. And mm-hmm. I just put it on in the mornings. Go for a walk as I listen to it and get back to work and start my day. It's just simple, and it can happen at any time of the day.
I love that. I do the same because I have a dog. Mm. And so I'm like, you know what, Thor? Oh. Let's go. His name is Thor. He's the dog of thunder.
I love that. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we take walks. There's something about being in nature that's so helpful.
Well, Christelle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure to chat with you guys.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We hope this has been very helpful and encouraging to you, because we want to grow together. And we want you to also continue to serve your youth faithfully. So farewell, everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
Did you know that this podcast is just one of many free resources produced by the Fuller Youth Institute? To learn more, check out fulleryouthinstitute.org. And for other content, check us out on your favorite social media platform. Thanks to Christelle and Rosalind for that captivating conversation. And a special thanks to the youth leaders, Kathy and Maddie.
One thing I learned for myself when it comes to like rest is like, I'm not a machine. In my whole life, I've always worked 2-3 jobs, like worked 80 hours a week was normal to me. And it was because I could do it is why I did it. A lot of times it was like to prove something to myself and maybe to other people. But in the season of transition, which started with me moving out of my home, moving into my own apartment and really being able to like get to know myself, I realized how little I knew myself. I think for me, I was listening to one of those headspaces, you know, like to help you out. And I never forget, I was laying down on my bed and like it's guiding you and it goes, think about your body right now. Like, how's your body feeling? Like, how's your body really feeling? And I'll never forget specifically, I felt my knees right away. And I was like, oh, my knees feel a little sore. Like, and it was the weirdest thing ever. Like, I was like, oh, my shoulders feel a little tight. And 2 minutes before that, I hadn't thought about it. Right, because I'm so used to like, oh, my body's a machine, like, it can take this beating. And I just remember it clicking, and I was like, wow, if my physical body is hurting like this, and I'm just laying down right now, and my physical body is sore, like, and it's so easy to disguise it, like, how is my soul doing right now? Like, how's my emotional health doing right now, my spiritual health? And I think for me, like, just realizing that and knowing that the Lord this season was telling me to stop, not even just slow down, but stop and bask in Him. I think for me, that was the biggest thing of going. This season has been the Lord revealing that we really are both physical and spiritual, and how they both have big needs that we need to take care of.